Soviet-style negotiators treat negotiations as battlefields, best avoided. Negotiations are often seen as battles where one side's gain means the other's loss. This approach, known for prioritizing victory at any cost, is widespread globally, with the former Soviet Union serving as a prominent example. It's crucial to identify and protect against these tactics to safeguard your interests. Soviet negotiators often start with unreasonable demands and refuse to give in much. For instance, when the Soviet Union wanted to buy land on Long Island for its embassy's use, they offered $125,000 for property worth $420,000. Even when the seller lowered the price to $360,000, the Soviets saw it as a sign of weakness. They eventually increased their offer to $133,000. Such minimal concessions, especially at the final moment, are typical of negotiators from Soviet-style regimes. They count on the deadline's pressure to force the other side to give in. Using negotiators with restricted power can hinder progress. They cannot make crucial decisions, which could lead to ineffective negotiations. Negotiating with someone who cries can be tricky. People often give in to their demands. This might not work with a tough Soviet general, but it's common in arguments between spouses. Emotional tactics like bullying or walking out can also be used to gain an advantage. When dealing with a negotiator using Soviet methods, it's wise to step back and explore other options. If you do engage, stick to your preset limits and remain calm, despite any emotional tactics they may use. Negotiations succeed by identifying and harmonizing everyone's needs. A win-lose mindset in negotiation sees a fixed pie to be fought over, where each party competes for their share. When both parties fight hard, they typically compromise, where each gives up something they want. However, true win-win negotiations are also possible. People often focus on what the other side wants in a negotiation. Instead, they should understand their deeper needs and unspoken desires. Each person's needs are unique, so it's possible to satisfy several people without anyone losing out. This requires finding common ground where everyone's needs can be met harmoniously. Your family is trying to decide where to vacation, but disagreement arises. Your spouse prefers Texas, your son the Rocky Mountains, and you want to visit the Great Lakes. These preferences seem impossible to reconcile. If you think beyond what everyone wants, you'll see it's possible to meet all needs. Your son simply wants to see mountains, your spouse prefers a warm place with tennis, and you just want a lake for swimming and snorkeling. Realizing this, a resort in Colorado satisfies everyone, solving the problem. Trust is crucial for successful negotiation. If there's no trust, parties won't share their true needs or make compromises. To negotiate effectively with family members, or anyone else, trust is crucial. Before the negotiation, focus on building a relationship. During the negotiation, emphasize your shared goals to strengthen trust. Harness all available power sources for successful negotiations. In negotiations, both sides typically possess various sources of strength. For example, when you negotiate with your boss, she holds a significant type of power, the ability to reward or punish you based on the task she assigns. This power directly influences how you are treated in the workplace. Other less obvious types of influence also impact negotiations. When you're shopping for a refrigerator and negotiating the price with the salesperson, your ability to consider other options can give you leverage. If you can easily go to another store nearby that sells the same fridge, you're in a strong position. However, if your family is waiting in the car and they've insisted on buying this exact fridge, your ability to walk away becomes less certain. Whether or not you're willing to risk losing the fridge can also influence who holds the power in the negotiation. Approach the salesperson with two strategies. Mention your brother got a discount on this fridge, leveraging precedent. Alternatively, assert your expertise as a fridge expert to argue the fridge is overpriced. Experienced salespeople often use printed signs like no discounts to assert legitimacy. Many customers trust these signs, but they can often be bypassed if you find someone with authority. Your influence in a negotiation depends on how powerful you and the other person believe you are. It's all about perception, not actual power. Make it persuasive, yet beware of vulnerability to its influence. When purchasing a refrigerator at a department store, what strategies could help you secure a lower price? Instead of choosing right away, ask the salesperson to show you all the fridges in the store. Ask many technical questions, making them find manuals for each model. Then say you need time to decide. The next day, return with your brother and have the salesperson demonstrate every fridge again because your brother knows about fridges. The sales clerk might be more inclined to give you a discount. After spending many hours with you, giving a discount seems like a small price to close the sale. Persuading the other side to invest in a negotiation increases their willingness to make compromises. When you shop with your family, a clever salesperson might focus on convincing them to love a specific fridge. Once your family is sold on it, you'll likely feel pressured to make the purchase. In this situation, you end up making compromises, not the salesperson. In any group setting, everyone must be fully committed to the same goal. This ensures everyone presents a unified front. For instance, when shopping for groceries, discussing your family's shared objectives beforehand helps in making collective decisions. Effective information sharing impacts negotiation success significantly. Knowing what your counterpart needs, their deadlines, and constraints gives you a strong position in negotiation compared to your opponent. Begin preparing early. Many people think negotiations happen at a specific moment, like when you talk with your boss about a raise. But negotiations are a process that starts long before you sit down at a table. Before meeting your boss, it's a good idea to check next year's salary budget. This will help you see if there's room for another raise. Also, ask your colleagues about how your boss usually acts during salary discussions. To improve understanding, ask many questions during meetings. Some even act naive in negotiations to uncover more information. This tactic helps level the playing field when dealing with experts. Make them explain complex concepts in simple terms to neutralize their advantage. Sharing information is like a game where both sides reveal some details and expect reciprocity. When disclosing information, be mindful of what you reveal to maintain balance and avoid surprises. When negotiating, your concessions signal your true limits. For instance, if you offer $100 for a fridge and the seller shakes their head, jumping to $500 suggests you can go higher. But if you raise it to $110, you reveal less. Deadlines impact negotiations but aren't always strict. Negotiations often progress most effectively as deadlines approach, much like how students often submit term papers at the last minute. In negotiations, having no fixed deadline gives you an advantage over your opponent who has a noon deadline. While your opponent needs to make concessions as their deadline nears, you can negotiate at your own pace for weeks. Once, an individual faced a challenge negotiating a deal in Japan for their employer. Instead of diving into business talks, the hosts insisted on experiencing Japanese hospitality and culture first. Serious negotiations began only on the final day of the two-week visit. With little time left before the flight home, negotiations occurred on the way to the airport. Their weak position led to a deal humorously dubbed the first great Japanese victory since Pearl Harbor by their superiors. Evaluate the importance of a deadline in negotiations calmly. Think about what happens if you don't meet it. Then decide if it's worth extending the deadline. Your opponents also have deadlines. As their deadline nears, they're more likely to compromise. Negotiate personally and positively. To succeed in any negotiation, it helps to connect with the other side on a personal level. This can be as simple as being respectful and likable. Skilled negotiators sometimes also try to gain sympathy by appearing vulnerable. For example, if a police officer stops you on the highway, it's better to act like a confused tourist about to cry than someone who acts like they know everything and are in a hurry. Likability can strongly affect negotiations, sometimes overriding logic. In American courts, juries might acquit someone despite strong evidence, just because they don't like the prosecutor. Similarly, if you enjoy shopping with a salesperson at one store, you might return there even if it's pricier than a nearby competitor. Being rude and offending someone can backfire. Doing it privately might make you apologize to the person to make up for your behavior. Doing it publicly could embarrass them and turn them against you, not just your ideas. Once you have a bitter enemy, they'll likely stay that way, always looking for chances to harm you. To stay personable, stay calm and relaxed. Imagine negotiating for someone else to stay emotionally uninvolved. Key points. 1. Negotiations are often seen as battles, requiring strategic planning. 2. Soviet-style tactics involve starting with extreme demands and minimal concessions. 3. Effective negotiations hinge on trust, shared goals, and an understanding of needs. 4. Power in negotiations comes from information, leverage, and strategic alliances. 5. Deadlines influence negotiations but can be flexible for advantageous outcomes. 6. Personal connection and likability enhance negotiation success significantly. 7. Effective negotiation strategies include strategic information sharing and managing concessions carefully.